intended to look like that today. I'm starting a new sermon series on John the Baptist. Don't worry, I'm not going to wear camel here. I'm not going to feed you locusts and honey. I was almost ready. I looked just like this. In Ohio, I had worked on my costume and practiced and was all dressed and ready, and I came home and Debbie made me shave. So here we are. I actually do want to speak to you today about John the Baptist, but not the image that you probably have had of him as an adult. I want to talk to you about John the Baptist when he was born and his story, which is very, very precious. The real story today that I want to read and think about and talk about is the story of his parents, a very precious couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's the baby John that gets my attention, and this morning I want to speak to you about the incredible miracle of his birth, the incredible story of how God had been planning and planning and planning and working ahead to bring about the birth and the life of this precious baby boy that will grow up into this man that many of us have thought about and read, and his pivotal role in the coming of Jesus. Truly, John the Baptist is the forerunner of something very special and important. And today I want us to think about John the Baptist and about his parents and about their faith, but also about how God is working ahead and God is planning. God is planning for the future. I'd like to read the story today from Luke chapter 1. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 5, and I'm going to read the story to verse 20. And so listen to the story of the coming, the conception of this precious baby boy. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." At their proper time. In God's timing. Never do we understand the timing of God and why and when and so much about the timing of God, but we are reminded many times in the Scriptures that God has a plan, God has a timetable, God is preparing, God is looking forward, God cares about your future, God knows about your past, God knows about your circumstances today, but God is always looking ahead. God is always looking to the future of your life. If you're here today and you wonder, does God really care about my future? I want to say to you with absolute certainty, God is looking at the future of your life, and he cares deeply about it. I know sometimes in the circumstances of life, you come. We've all come probably at times and places where we've had that question deep down on the inside. Does God really have a future for me? Well, I want you to know that He absolutely does. So many things in the Christmas story remind me of that as I've been, of course, reading through the Christmas story the last few weeks and thinking about the different stories and the different places, the different texts. And as I've settled on this story for this morning, my mind has gone, come to the place and the thought, the reminder that God absolutely has a future for every one of us. No matter who you are, how young you are, how old you are, no matter whether you've had a lot of good things happen in your life or you've had a lot of bad things in your life, there's an amazing heavenly Father who cares about your future, who knows where you're at, and He has His hand on you. It may not be the future that you think it might be or would have chosen or could have been or whatever, but I promise you that God knows about every day of your life and He knows about the path ahead. For example, here's this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, of course, is an older man. He's described as an older man. He has been at it for a long time in life. He's been at it a long time as a priest. He's a priest from a family of priests. His father, his grandfather, back six generations at least, is described in this story of the faithfulness of Zechariah and his family to do the duties that God had called them to do. He has been serving faithfully. He's been a priest for many generations, as generations have done before. We know that Zechariah had a deep faith. And up until now, he probably had, you might say, he had an average life. I don't know. Up until now, there might not have been too much notable about Zechariah's life, the ups and downs of life. And he was living out his faith. He was doing what he thought he was supposed to do. He was a good man, we know. We know that he had a deep faith. He's described as being upright. His character, his integrity, his honesty. He was a man that just believed God and tried to do what he believed God wanted him to do. He was probably fairly predictable. He was a man who had chosen a path and believed deeply in the authority of God, and he believed that He needed to stay on track with hearing and responding and obeying and living out the faith and, you know, in the ups and downs of life. He was a priest. He probably had many blessings. But we do know that there's one thing in his life that was very difficult. We'll come to that in a moment. He's described here as being upright. He's also called blameless. God was pleased with this man, Zechariah. Zechariah had chosen to honor him with his life, and God had recognized that and saw that. God had seen them and reminded that God sees us. Sometimes He may be pleased with us, and sometimes He may not be pleased with us, but He doesn't take His eye off of us. Zechariah was a man here that God had been watching for a long time. And we know that God was planning something for Zechariah. It's an amazing story, an amazing miracle, but God was planning something for Zechariah. Although Zechariah could have never known it, never guessed it, never even had an idea or an inkling of what God was going to do. Just living out his faith, called blameless. God had been watching him. God yet had been planning for him. But then we know of Zechariah too, that he had no children. Simple statement here in Luke chapter 1, he had no children. Not a lot of commentary about it. But we know, we read behind the lines, what a disappointment that would have been for him, wanting to have a child and to be able to pass on that heritage and maybe the priestly role that had been passed down at least seven generations, we know of, and probably many, 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 many more generations, all the way descendant from Aaron. But Zechariah and his wife had no children. Surely a deep disappointment, something he and his aging wife had been caring about and praying for a long time. His dear wife, precious Elizabeth, was her name. Though Zechariah had no children described here, Elizabeth is described a little bit different with a different word here. Elizabeth is described as barren. Though for Zechariah there was deep, probable disappointment and sadness that they had not been able to have a child. But for Elizabeth it was deeper. She was called barren up until now. But God was going to change that. Painful as it was for Elizabeth at this time, you might say, not only was she barren, but she felt broken. There was a part of her that deeply felt the pain, the sadness. Up until now, she felt things that probably Zechariah didn't quite feel, but tried to. But whatever the case, she felt, we read from her reaction to the story, that she must have felt pretty broken. But I just want to say in this story, we can be thankful that God knew all about Elizabeth and had a plan. And in this miraculous story, God also brought his great blessings to Elizabeth. She was barren and she was broken, but God blessed her. God blessed the faithfulness and God made something out of what might have seemed like impossible circumstances. For on that very day, Gabriel came, the angel, with a message from God. You imagine what it was like for that Zechariah. Go on to that next slide, if you would, Nate. Zechariah is in the temple, and he's doing his duty. He'd been called by Lot to come in and burn the incense, and you know that was a rotation thing, and there were enough priests in Israel that only a small percentage of the priests actually had an opportunity to be chosen by Lot and go into the temple and do that which was done on this day. And yet God had allowed Zechariah to have that great privilege and to do that. And when he came in and he's burning that incense, can you imagine his reaction to the wonder of the messenger Gabriel, who comes and says to this good man, "I have a message for you from the Lord." And then everything changed in his life. I want you to watch this 3-minute video that portrays what happens after Gabriel comes.
"What do you mean you can't speak? You put that down and talk to me, Zechariah. You went to the temple to burn incense and now you can't speak. Because you doubted." "What does that even mean?" "You doubted what an angel told you." "Oh, now it's all making sense." "Are you feeling all right, huh? Maybe you should sit down." "Oh, I should sit down. Listen, whatever game you're playing, I really wanted to stop, Zechariah. It isn't funny. This isn't funny, Zechariah. An angel told you this. The angel said that our prayers have been heard. That you, my love, will bear a son. That we will be filled with joy and gladness. And that many will rejoice at his birth. Like Elijah, he will prepare our people for the Lord. What am I going to do? I'm too old to be a mother. And you, you can't even speak. Oh, you can't even speak until he's born. Oh, that might not be the worst thing. I can't wait to tell my cousin Mary. We will call him Zachariah, yes?
Can you imagine the joy they felt? God had heard their prayers. I want to say to you, don't be afraid to pray. You may not understand when or why or how, but God will hear your prayers. God knows your needs. God knows your heart. God knows the future, and He is there. You imagine the laughter, the shock, the hugs, the incredible feelings. God was at work. He had a future. He had a plan. There was God all along, knowing their life and their path and their journey. You imagine Zechariah's excitement. Here's this man that had been praying for a long time, and then for the angel to come and give him the great promise. And then the pregnancy. 9 months or so of to dream about it and think about it and talk about it. And you imagine Elizabeth telling her family and her neighbors and everybody else the excitement about it. And there's Zechariah in the corner pulling out his tablet when he had to communicate. And all that went with that, the telling of the family, the anticipation, the knowing it was going to be a boy, the preparing of the nursery, the comparing stories with other women and mothers, and the excitement and joy. And then can you imagine the day when Zechariah's tongue was set free? Just imagine what that was like. I mean, you know, up until... And all that time, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Needed Becca here to do the sign language. Can you imagine him trying to communicate this to the people around him? Oh, my. What a story. Again, God is preparing. God is planning. And then on that day that came and the baby was born, the joy that came to them. Oh, I imagine for Zechariah, it was all bottled up. And then when he could talk again, the cork came out. How he would have reacted to that. Well, we do know. We don't have to imagine a whole lot about Zechariah, because what came out of Zechariah is amazing praise. He burst forth with praise. And later on, as you turn the page at the end of the longest chapter in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, is Zechariah's song. And he issues forth great praise to God. First, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We know that. God had entered into both Zechariah and the baby and Elizabeth in a precious way. And what came out of Zechariah was this amazing praise. Zechariah did let it out in a beautiful description of the planning of God. He called it, or it's called Zechariah's song, praise. He also was full of prophecy as he then told the people and declared this baby and all the things that he drew out of his knowledge of the scriptures and the prophecies of the Old Testament. See, Zechariah was a man who had studied and he had learned a lot and he understood. And when the angel came and spoke to him, he had this ability to bring together and then be able to announce it at the birth of the baby. He told of God's planning. He told of how God had been working in the past, in the Old Testament, in the prophecies, and now God was planning. And he says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days." This man let loose a great praise and honor of God and thankfulness that God was planning and working in his life. He told of God's hand, how faithful God had been. Not only did he tell about the God who was planning, but he also told about the work of God's hand, all the blessings that he had to be thankful for. Listen to some of the things that Zechariah declares and says that the Lord has said. Number one, to prepare the way. He says, this baby will prepare the way. This baby will give knowledge. This baby will bring the knowledge of salvation, and that the world would know and see the planning and the hand of God. And here Zechariah and Elizabeth were a part of that. To give salvation. Also to share in the darkness, he says here. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. How God was declaring in this baby, John the Baptist, this baby boy, so far ahead. I mean, way far ahead before John would ever come on the scene and preach and declare the coming of Jesus. God was preparing. God was planning. God was looking into the life of the future of these people. And God had a plan for him to shine in the darkness. And another thing he says here, to guide our feet. When you look at the blessings that God talks about, or that Zechariah is given by God, to guide our feet. All these things God promises. And then finally this morning, verse 78, I want you to hear this beautiful verse. To me, it's kind of the culmination of this story of tenderness, the story of the wonder of God's planning. Verse 28 says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. I want you to think for a moment this morning about the tender mercies of God. I said a few minutes ago that God hears our prayers. You might not see him, you might not know him, you might not feel him, but God does hear your prayers. I also want to say to you today that God has tender mercies for you. You may think that God is going to be rough on you. God is going to be stern with you. God is going to be watching over you like with a clipboard and examining everything you do to see if you do anything wrong. I want you to know that the Christmas story tells us of a God who has tender mercies for us. He wants to help us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to change us. We have a great privilege of worship and worshiping a God who is merciful and tender to us. Whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know that the Heavenly Father has tender mercies for you. It's a beautiful thing to hold on to and to remember. Would you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your tender mercies. We thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that you are planning in our lives and that we can call out to you and we can pray to you that you see us, that you know us, you know our hearts, and you know our prayers. Lord God, thank you for a great and a mighty God that you are. I pray that those that are here today would sense that there's a God who's watching out and watching over and has his eye on them, I pray. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.